Let's thank Richie for sharing. At this time, I'd like to introduce our second speaker, Sarah R. from East of the Bay Area.
Hi, I'm Sarah Maddox. Hi, everybody. I told myself before the meeting, I was like, all right, you're going second. Everybody's going to walk out right when you start. It's going to be okay. They're not leaving because it's you. I tell myself that. So, bye, guys. thanks for sharing, Richie. I didn't write any notes. Maybe I could borrow yours. I should have written something down. I'm really nervous. But I don't like to plan it because I feel like if I say what I want to say, then that's me and my will. And usually if I just let God talk for me, it works out better. And if I'm searching for things to say, then I'm probably done. So I'm really super grateful to be here. It's my first time speaking at this convention. I've been coming here. I came here for the first time in 2001. I had a year clean. And I also met my husband at this convention in 2001. And I wasn't interested in him at the time. I thought he was old. And he's still old, but I'm older too. So it worked out. But I met him actually in a hot tub at the hotel with the big whale on it.
Yeah.
Yeah. I was staying there with my sponsor and like a sponsee sister. And I realized there's a hot tub and anybody could come in. They would just let anybody in this place. And I was like, a hot tub with all these guys. And I was like, this convention's great. This is a wonderful place of recovery. And I was so grateful to be in recovery. It was a beautiful thing. And, I was 18 and just had so much ahead of me. And so that night I stayed out all night with whomever. And I didn't have a cell phone. This is 2001. Not everybody had cell phones. I had a pager, but I got rid of it when I got clean. And so I stayed out all night. And when I finally drug my ass back to the hotel in the morning, my sponsor was like, oh my God, I've been so worried about you. Where have you been? You didn't come home all night. And I was like shocked that somebody cared about where I was. I was like, really, you were worried? Because nobody's ever been worried about me before. You know, and nobody cared where I was and if I didn't come home. And it was just mind-blowing to me that here was this person that wanted nothing from me but to know that I was okay. And God, that was like, you know, talk about amazing. And she was worried about me. And I learned something that day. It probably didn't sink in at the time because I still had, you know, convention fun to have. But super fun. And then the very next year, I was here. I was 7 months pregnant because I had so much fun. That's what happens. So I tell people, watch yourself, you know, check yourself before you wreck yourself. And so then I was back here pregnant, but I was still having fun and, you know, at the dance in my halter top and my belly. But so that's when I became a parent. I was 18 years old. 18, yep. I've been a parent for 12 years, and I don't think, how is this possible? I picked my daughter up at the middle school the other day for an appointment, and the ladies in the office were like, you have a kid that goes here? I said, yes. And they said, I don't think you're old enough to have a kid that goes here. And I said, well, I'm not, but I do. So, and she has an orthodontist appointment, so let's go. And I also just got braces for my daughter $6,752. Good. Do you really need straight teeth? You know, like, they're really not that crooked. I think they're okay. You know, and yeah, they're not that bad. Smiley mouth lips. But I had braces as a child, and I didn't want my daughter to grow up and be an adult and have to buy her own braces because her mother couldn't get that for her. And so, you know, it's funny, like, I'm like, how am I going to pay for these braces? And then I get my taxes back, and it's like $6,000. And I was like, and you know, it's always things like that. It's like God saying, you can do this. You know, we will make a way. And there's always a way, you know. So I was like, all right. And they, you know, they take down payment plan. It's going to be okay. I've got, she's got grandparents. Like, we're going to get these braces. It's going to happen. And, yeah, and that's part of being a parent. So I go all over the place. I have a little ADD. I think probably a lot of people do, so it's okay. So I've been a parent for 12 years, and, like, in that time, I've also kind of, like, learned to parent myself, you know? Like, by learning to take care of my daughter, I've learned to take care of myself and become, you know, prior to having my daughter, it was all about me. You know, everything was always all about me. Even when I was clean, it was still all about me. And I got pregnant with her, and her father, all right, I'm going to tell you guys my experience, okay? It's my experience, not yours. So, like, sometimes I can be a little offensive, but that's me, you know? So anyways, so her father didn't want to have a baby, and he wanted me to have an abortion. And we had, like, they had this, like, intervention with me and him and his parents and my parents. Everybody wanted me to not have this baby. My parents, they wanted me to give her up for adoption, and they wanted me to have an abortion. And here I am at 18, at a year and a half clean, and I was learning how to work the third step. And it was following God's will, not my will. And what was my will and what was God's will? And I thought about it. And I felt, you know, like, what would God want me to do? And at that moment, like, I realized that I had done this. This was me. And I needed to become an adult. And I needed to take responsibility for my actions. And I had created this life, and I needed to be responsible for it. And my whole life, I'd always taken the easy way out. I always took the easier, softer way, whatever worked best for me. And at this moment, it was time for me to not take the easy way out and to maybe take the hard way, but the right way for me. And so I told them, you know, I'm not going to do that. And so he left me. And my parents were like, well, we support you not doing that, but you can't have this baby. You need to give it up for adoption. And I knew that, like, and I thought about it, I knew I was meant to be her mother. And I said, I can't do that. And they said, well, then you've got to leave. And so they kicked me out. And so, like, at that time in my life, it was really, really dark time. I was, you know, I was homeless. I didn't have a job. I didn't have my boyfriend, and I was pregnant, and just really felt like this was, you know, like a bottom, you know, like a bottom in recovery, and that's really where I got my, really grew my faith in my higher power, that if I rely on my higher power, everything will work out as it should, and even if it doesn't seem like it's working out right now, like, I need to trust in the plan. And so I learned to do that during this time. And so I got an apartment. It was like lower income housing, but it was mine. You know, me and my best friend got this place. I got a job. Someone in recovery gave me a job at his place. And I just started putting one foot in front of the other. You know, like when you don't know what to do, you just need to take the next step. You know, I didn't need to know the future, but I needed to know the next step. And the next step was, you know, go to work, pay my bills, save my money, be ready to parent this child. I had been at this place maybe a week or two, and I was working at a furniture store, and as I left, this guy ran up to me, and I thought he had worked in the warehouse. And so I said hi. I was like, hey, because I was really nice to everybody. And he pulled out a gun, and he held it right to my stomach. I was probably about 6 months pregnant at the time. And he made me get in the car with him. And there's three guys. And it's hard for me to talk about, but I'll tell you, at that moment, like, I realized how much I really loved my daughter. You know, like, she wasn't even born, but her life was threatened so many times. You know, threatened by, like, everybody that I thought loved me. And then here was, like, she pretty much had, like, a gun pointed to her, and she wasn't even born. And I just felt like, you know, just really a lot of sadness, but I also knew that I loved this child unconditionally, and I hadn't even met her. And I never felt that feeling before, and I don't think you really feel that till you become a parent. And it's hard to explain. So I was eventually, they let me go, and I was okay. And you know, later she was born, and she was beautiful and healthy, and she was mine. And God, and that was in June. She'll be 12 years old, and it's not been easy. You know, being a parent is not easy at all, and to be a good parent is even harder. And like the doubt, like as a parent, I think you get like that guilt, like you could always be doing something more. You know, today I was a single mother for a long time, and it was really hard, and I worked my ass off to do everything that I thought she should have, and to try to like make up for her not having a father. I guess I'm not good with dates. Like 7 years ago, I ran into at this convention my now husband again, and he was like, "Remember me?" And I was like, "Oh yeah." And he had a daughter the same age as my daughter, and it was like, "Well, let's get them together for a play date." And we started hanging out, and it's just like, I just fell in love with him. You know, he was a single parent, I was a single parent, and everyone like that I had dated prior to that, people that like weren't parents, other guys that weren't parents, they would try to understand, but I don't think they really understood. And I felt bad because like my daughter always came first, no matter what, you know. And they definitely didn't do it gracefully, you know. Like I think I've made a lot of mistakes, but I know that I've done like the best that I could. You know, when I had my daughter, I didn't have any friends that had kids. I was the only one of my friends that had a baby, and I really didn't have anybody to like show me what to do. I was very alone, but I didn't even realize I was alone. I just did it, you know. Like I feel like I just parented her on faith. That like I'm gonna do this and I will, and I did. And but at this point she had gotten older, and I met Mike, and he had two daughters, and I had my daughter, and I'm gonna cut to the end. We got married and had another baby, and so now we have four kids. So like I never thought I'd have four children, but I do. And I take care of all of them, which is totally crazy. And the oldest is 20, so I have a 20-year-old daughter, which is kind of wild. But it's really, you know, it's taught me a lot about myself. And, like, for me, being a parent today is completely different than it was being a parent 12 years ago. You know, like, I'm married, I have a husband, and he's very supporting, and, like, it's totally different. But, like, I'll never forget being that single parent, and doing everything, you know. And I really think, like, I really believe that children are meant to have a mother and father. Like, that's why it takes two people to have a baby, because it really takes two people to raise one. And that's not to say that, like, single parents aren't doing a good job, because, like, I was one and I know that I did it. But, like, with my daughter, it's been really tough. She has always been a very difficult child. Really, like, a lot like me, but worse. Like, to the extreme, like me times 10. And I didn't really have anything to, like, base her behavior off of or to compare it to, because I didn't really have a lot of experience. And my parents always made me feel like I was parenting her wrong. Like, she would act different if I would just do this different, or if I would just punish her more or discipline her more or whatever, that she would act right. And, like, I just knew that that wasn't the answer. And it took me a long time to realize, like, I can do something different than my parents and it's not wrong. You know, I can do things my way, and just because it's different than your way, it doesn't make my way right or your way right. It's just different. You know, different kids need different things. Eventually, like, her behavior got really, started to get worse, and I had her evaluated, and, I went in to talk to the therapist, and she told me, you know, that she had Asperger's. And I thought, well, that's autism, and my daughter's not autistic, so you're wrong. And I left. And I just thought, that woman doesn't know what she's talking about. Like, totally denial, you know? And it took, like, a couple months of me in denial to finally get on the Google and Google it and read about it. And it was like, I was reading about my kid. It was like, described her to a T. And I was like, oh my God, that's her. And I always thought all this time that she was just like me. Like, she was probably just like a little addict or something, but she wasn't. She, she, you know, has, it's a form of autism. And, it took me a little bit to accept that. And once I finally did, then it was like, okay, now I know why she acts the way that she does. And I'll tell you, like, it's been a really difficult road. And but I've, like, gotten so many, like, as hard as she is to parent, and in the same respects, she's that wonderful to parent. Because, like, I get so much out of her on both ends of the spectrum. And, you know, like, I heard this story once, that parenting a special needs kid is like, it's like you're planning a vacation to Italy, and you're getting ready to go to Italy, and you've checked out all the places, and you know all the fancy places that you're going, and you get the nice clothes, and you get your tickets, and you're going to have this really nice vacation with good food and everything. And you get on the plane, when you get there, you're not in Italy, you're in Holland. And you're like, this is not what I signed up for. This is not what I prepared for. What is this place? And but then after a while, you realize Holland's not so bad. They got windmills and little wooden shoes. And it's really not that bad. It's just different, you know? And it's very special, you know? So, like, I always thought I was on this trip to Italy, but really, I've been in Holland, you know? And it's not a bad place. I just got to learn to accept it. You know, like, once I accepted it, it's like, okay, this place is kind of cool and special in its own way. And so, like, my daughter does amazing, incredible things. Like, she's so super smart. She's smarter than me, and I have to be really careful because she's, like, really smart. And, you know, it's just crazy. And then, so 4 years ago, my son will be four on Sunday. It's funny, I'll be four. We're going to have a Ninja Turtle party. I'm really excited. Because I like Ninja Turtles when I was little. So it's so cool that they brought him back. And except for I like Raphael and he likes Michelangelo, but it's okay. So he's going to be four. This was his first convention. I brought him here when he was 4 days old. And I know, I'm that parent. I'm that crazy person. Yeah, I had him in, like, my little sling, and I had him here 4 days old. And, I mean, he just slept. That's what they do. He doesn't know any different. I was like, after the main meeting, people are like, you need to get that baby inside. Take that baby home. Like, It's my baby. I do what I want. So, I did. To me, like, NA is just like, this is my life, you know? When my daughter was born, the day I got home from the hospital, I came home, it was a Wednesday, we came home from the hospital, me and my roommate, we had this baby, and we're like, what do we do with it? What do we do with this baby? And we're like sitting around, we're like, well, what do we do now? And Kim's like, well, your home group's tonight. I was like, let's go to my home group. So like, I went to this meeting with this 2-day-old baby, and people are like, what are you doing? I'm like, it's my home group, I don't miss my home group. And so I'm there, like, with this little tiny baby. And that's just what I did, you know? And my kid survived. So, like I have a sponsee. She just had a baby. And the baby's, like, 2 weeks old. She's like, when can I take her to a meeting? And I was like, 2 weeks ago. Like, get that baby's ass to a meeting. that's me. I don't know. You know what the coolest thing is? I was there when her baby was born. I watched her born, and it was like the craziest thing. Like, I saw my babies born, but I was up here and they were down there. And but this time I was on the other end, and I was like, you know what's so funny is I'm a nurse. I've been a nurse for 9 years, but I don't do the baby. I don't do that stuff. And I was like freaking out, like, oh my god, look at that. But it was the most beautiful thing, and I, like, held her, and it was, like, this little tiny baby. And my sponsee, like, I was there when she got clean. I've seen her go through everything. I've worked steps with her. I've seen her celebrate. You know, I've seen her buy her first house. I've seen her, you know, just go through all the good and the bad, and then to be there and see this baby born, and, like, to be there for her and, like, be the person for her that I didn't have when I had my daughter, you know, and to be like, I did this. Let me show you how. You know, and the, like, teacher, and it's, like, the most beautiful thing. It's, like, circle of life, and, God, I love it. So, I got attention 5 minutes. So, I got more than 5 minutes. So my son's going to be 4, and he's completely different from my daughter, and, like, parents, that's, like, the weirdest thing is, like, you can learn to be a parent and, like, think you got this thing under control, and then you, like, get another kid, and it's like, whoa, this is not the same, you know, and you really have to, like, learn how to parent completely different. And, you know, when my son was born, I'm going to make this really quick, but when he was a baby, he was deaf. He couldn't hear, and they couldn't figure out why, and I went through a lot of pain with trying to figure out, like, the reason why he couldn't hear or speak, and like everything that I took him for granted with my daughter. You guys got some candy for me? Thanks. Pass it around. So, like, my daughter was, like, always really smart. She could talk right away. She was speaking in complete sentences before she could even walk. Well, my son couldn't speak, and he didn't even know his name. When he was a year old, he didn't know his name, and it was really hard for me. And I went through a lot of pain with trying to figure out what was wrong with him, and they ended up being able to do a very simple surgery that restored his hearing. And so he was about a year and a half old when he was able to hear, and everything that I took for granted with my daughter, like, I learned to cherish with him, like his very first word, and just little things, just like saying his name and saying mom, and I've, like, been given this new perspective, you know, and, like, and I've learned to, like, not take anything for granted, and, like, that everything he does is, like, a miracle to me, like, really a miracle,
yeah.
You know, which I didn't know that with my daughter, but now I do, and I've learned to, you know, love my kids for who they are and their own uniqueness, and you know, my kids really, like, add a lot to my life, but they're not my whole life, you know, and I have a life separate from them, and I think that's important. You know, I hear a lot of people say, like, my kids are my world. And I think that's really cool. Like, I know that they love them, but my kids aren't my world. And that maybe sounds bad, but, like, my world is so much bigger than just my kids, you know? Like, I'm so many things besides a parent. Like, I'm a wife. I'm a friend. You know, I'm a daughter. I'm a sister. I'm a really good worker. I'm a student. Like, I'm a sponsor. I'm a sponsee. I'm speaking to you guys. Like, my world is huge. And my kids are a very special part of that, and they add to that, but, like, that's not it, you know? And my kids know how important they are to me, but they also know, like, I have my own things that I do, you know? And sometimes you just need your own stuff just for you. And is it 5 minutes past?
I got more stories.
So, like, you... it's important to, like, be your own person. You know, like, when I drop my son off at school, they're all like, Juice Mommy, Juice Mommy. And, like, it's okay to be Juice Mommy, but I'm not just Juice Mommy. You know, I'm a lot more than that. And, you know, my kids are a huge part of my life. Like, I take them everywhere. My kids go to meetings with me. They go to conventions. Like, they do all kinds of stuff with me. I went to the World Convention in Spain when I was pregnant with my son, which was actually horrible because I was so sick. And I couldn't eat any of the food. But, sorry. But, you know, like, NA has given me this life, and I don't try to, like, hide it from my kids. I don't take my daughter to meetings anymore because she started saying that she wants to go to meetings because she says they always cuss and talk about jail. She's like, take me to your home group, and I'm like, I think you should stay home. So you know, and I'm lucky now. I have my husband, and we can switch out. And like, so I'm here today.
Right.
The kids are at home. He'll probably be here tomorrow, and you can look for him. But it's really cool. But I take them, like, my area does a lot of, we have a lot of special events, and I take my kids to all of them because it's really fun, and it's a good way, I think, you know, to include them in NA, which is very special to me, too. And so I'm really glad that our area, we did ice skating. We had a meeting, a speaker jam on ice, but it was disappointing. I thought they'd be speaking, like, on the ice, but they weren't. You had to go in a room. There was not ice skating in the room. But it's still pretty cool. So anyways, like, parenting, it's different for everybody. Like, what works for me won't necessarily work for you. But I know, like, if you base all your actions out of love, you can't go wrong. You know, everything I do, I try to base out of love and not out of fear. And you can't go wrong with that. And, like, you know, sometimes when you think, like, the very worst thing is happening to you, like, you know, there was a point in my life when I thought, like, when I was pregnant with my daughter, that I thought, oh my God, this is the worst. My life is over. And, like, what I didn't even know is, like, my life is just beginning, you know? My life is just starting. And it was the best thing that ever happened to me. And so I always remember that when I'm, like, when I was in the same spot with my son, when it was like, oh my God, he's deaf, he's going to need brain surgery, all this stuff. And I thought, this is the worst thing ever. And I was like, no, it's not. I don't know the whole story. And I really kind of, like, put the 11th step in practice there and said, you know what, like, I never prayed for his hearing to be restored. I just prayed for me to be the parent that he needed, you know. I never prayed for him. I only prayed for myself because I knew he would be okay. He was happy. He didn't know that there was anything wrong with him, you know. It was me that needed the prayer. And every day I prayed, like, God, please let me be the parent that he needs me to be. And if he's going to be deaf, like, then I'll learn sign language. And if he's going to need brain surgery, then, like, I'll deal with that too. And it really gave me a lot of peace. And, like, in the end, it was like, he's perfectly normal now. He's, like, a little bit delayed, but you can't even really tell. And, you know, it's really cool. So I think that's all I want to say. Thanks for letting me share.